So our focus today will be on delighting in God's word. That's the focus. All right, I think we can go ahead and get started. So let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, your word is good. It is food. It's flavorful, God. It's just so good to us. We thank you for it, God. Thank you for just speaking to us, giving us guidance, instruction, showing us the way, God, the way of life, of happiness through your word, Lord God. Help us to gain an understanding this morning, God. Speak through me, Lord God. Speak through my brothers and sisters, God. Give them revelation and understanding, God. Just dwell in our midst as we go into your word. Let us feel your presence as we study the truth, Lord. We thank you for just another moment to learn more of you, who you are, God. Bless our time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, saints, so today is the focus is on delighting in the Lord. And the reason I wanted to back up in 16 and just speak on that, because I feel like that's something that many Christians do struggle with, is finding delight in God's word, and really just delighting in the things of God in general. John Piper, this has been a major part of his ministry. His term he uses is Christian hedonism. A hedonist is a person that's just so focused and obsessed on their pleasure. And he says that we should be Christian hedonism, but our pleasure should be in God, right? And so his Christian hedonism is his big thing that he always taught on. It deals with the subject here of delighting in something, delighting in God's word, not being bored with God's word, but actually finding delight in it. And so what I would like to do is just speak on this again, verse 16, using the text there. Look at that. And then at the end, I would like to understand more how, like, what is your process for when you are dull, or the word is becoming dull to you and you're not seeing anything? How do you go about and break that dullness, and what are some of your practices and processes? And maybe we can speak on that. And then also in 16 it talks about not forgetting God's word. I also want to know some of your practices and processes for not forgetting God's word. So that's more the practical application. But before that, we just kind of going to go through and teach to it briefly here. So, remember, this is an acrostic psalm, right? So every first verse in the Hebrew language starts with the first letter of this alphabet that is under. So we are under Bet here in verse 9 through 16. That's the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so every word, every verse starts with that first letter. And it's like this through this entire psalm. It's pretty creative, artistic, how God is using poetry to provide us with truth and understanding. But so in this second stanza here, these verses 9 through 16, I want to just point out some things here. So in the first couple of verses here that we looked at in Psalms, again, we're looking at verse 9 through 16. I want to just make sure we're all here. Psalms 119, verse 9 through 16. We've already talked through those, but I want to back up and really highlight verse 16. But I'm just summarizing the verses that we read right now. So in the first couple of verses of this stanza, you have the psalmist showing how he's wholeheartedly committed to keeping God's word in every form, from commandments to statutes. That's what you have in the first part of this text here. He's just committed to keeping God's word. And how can a young person keep their way pure? He says, by keeping it according to the word of God. And so most of this psalm here, he's just focusing on, like, the importance of keeping God's word. He focuses on the importance of memorizing scripture, right? He focuses on, what else? He wants to say what God is saying when it comes to justice and righteousness. He's saying that I want my lips to be saying whatever God is saying. So he's focused so much on just highlighting God's word and the importance of God's word. And now he's striving to keep God's word and why it's so important to keep God's word. But then at the last part of this verse, he makes a shift here in verse 16. The shift that he makes here is he goes from showing how it's important to keep God's word, to obey God's word, that it's our duty, it's our honor to keep God's word. But then he goes into verse 16 and he switches totally to emotions. Look at that. He went from, yes, keeping God's word commandment. I'm not going to wander from your word. I'm going to treasure your word in my heart. I want to say whatever you're saying. And then he goes to verse 16, and it is basically all emotion. He says, I shall delight in your statutes. That's all emotion. That's how you feel, right? It's not just duty and honor, how he's showing in all these other previous verses. But now in verse 16, he's so focusing on delighting in God. It's emotions. It's how I feel, my feelings. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your words. So he says in 16, he's going to delight in God's statutes. My question, saints, to you all, how do you do that? How do you make yourself delight in God's word? How do you make yourself delight in something? Because from my perspective, delighting in something seems to be out of our control, right? It's just something you do. Oh, I like this. I delight in doing this. How do I make my heart, the deepest parts of me, my soul, delight in something? Because delight, again, is something that just kind of naturally happens, right? If I'm eating a meal that is really good, I find delight in eating this meal. Why? Because it's really good, so I delight in it. But how do I make myself delight in something, though? It's like, how can I put it? Like, I can tell myself all day that these Brussels sprouts are good, and I'm going to delight in them. But when I start chewing on the Brussels sprouts, I'm not tasting any delight. So how can I say I'm going to delight in something that when I'm tasting it is not tasting good, right? And that's the same thing. How can I delight in God's word when I'm reading God's word and I'm not seeing anything or beholding anything, right? That's the same question we got to ask ourselves. Like, how do I just make myself delight in God's word? I'm going to make my heart delight. We can't, right? I can't just make myself delight in God's word. But the psalmist is saying, I shall delight in your statutes. He's making a vow, a commitment that I am going to delight in your statutes. And then he even doubles down in the second part of 16 by also making another commitment or a vow and saying that I shall not forget your word. So he's making a commitment to delight in God's word, and he's making a vow also to not forget God's word. But how do you do that? How can we make our hearts delight in God's word when I feel like that's something that's out of my control? I think from this first verse, the first thing that we learn in our steps towards delighting in God's word and delighting in his commandments is we got to first say it and make the statement, as the psalmist does here. He first starts off by saying, I shall delight in God's word. Can you even say that? Can you make that commitment and vow and saying, God, I'm going to delight in your word. I'm not going to forget your commandments. Can you speak and say that? Because that's what the psalmist starts off here first by doing. He makes the commitment, the vow with his mouth that I shall delight in your statutes, God's commandments, his words, his truth. So that's our first step towards delighting in God's word, is saying and making the commitment that I'm all in, God. I'm going to delight myself in your word. I will not forget your commandments. That is our first step in our steps towards delighting in God's word, is speaking it and saying it out loud to ourselves, speaking to our soul as the psalmist does in Psalms 42, and telling ourselves, no, I'm going to delight in my Lord. I'm going to delight in the word of God. I'm not going to forget his word. So that's our first step there that we want to do. That's our first step towards delighting in God's word. Now, step number two in our step towards delighting in God's word is humbling yourself and realizing that you don't have the power to make yourself delight in God's word. So yes, I want to speak it, and I got to remind myself, I want to say it as the psalmist says in here, but you have to humble yourself and realize that you don't have that power to make yourself, your heart, your soul, delight in God's word. It's not something you can just naturally drum up and make yourself do. It's kind of like this. Imagine me saying, Sister Debbie, Sister Linda, I spent all week I even took off of work. I spent all week working on this art piece. Sister Debbie and Sister Lindy, you're going to so love this art piece. It is amazing. I took off all week. You know what? I didn't even pick my kids up from school. Why? Because I was so focused on this art piece. You're going to so love it. And you're like, okay, yeah, yeah. Okay, where's it at? I left it at my cousin's house. So then how can you delight in this art piece that you can't even see? Great, I told you how great it is and how wonderful, but the only way that you're going to actually begin to delight in this art piece is for you to actually see it and to behold it and to see this hard work that I put in it. And when you see it, then you'll be able to have some delight in this art piece. But you can't delight in something that you can't see. And so while we can make ourselves delight in God's word, why we can't do this? Because it's actually a work of God to open our eyes to see his glory. So look at what the psalmist says, and this we're going to jump around here just this one time. Look at what the psalmist says in verse 18. This is how we can begin to see God's word, to delight into it. He says here, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. This is where delighting in, this is the foundation of delighting in God's word here. The psalmist is going to God and he's asking God to open my eyes to help me to see wonderful things. Because when we go to the scripture sometimes and we're bored, we're not seeing wonderful things. We're not seeing glory. So this is where we have to go to the Lord and we say, God, open my eyes so that I may behold wonderful things from your law. He's saying that it's a work of God for me to see these things. These marvelous things. I can't just drum it up on my own. It's something that God has to do. So this is where it starts. It's that asking, seeking, and knocking. It's saying, God, help me to see these glorious things so that I can now delight in God's word. Now this gets us to our homework assignment. You guys remember our homework assignment? From last week? Nobody? Saints, y'all getting F minuses here. Come on. Fernie spent all of lunch trying to do the homework assignment. Thank you. All right, thank you. Now I know you guys will listen. I'm like, did they not listen at all? Okay, so remember the homework assignment. Maybe I should have put it in the group chat. I don't know. But the homework assignment from last week was to look for the equivalent of this verse here, verse 18, in the New Testament. And I even cheated and gave you a book that it's in. You guys remember that now? So there's a verse in the New Testament that's the equivalent or similar to what the psalmist is saying here in verse 18 when he says to open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. So, and this is going to make some of you guys even more mad and bothered, okay? Do you guys remember maybe a month or two ago, we had prayer partners? Yes. Remember that?
Yes.
And you remember I sent out a whole prayer list of prayer points? Mm-hmm. You guys remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. The reason I say that because that is what we're going to go to is what hopefully you were praying for that person. Remember we were... Remember I was trying to show you how you pray and the points and the things you want to pray about? Remember that, saints? Okay, right? So that's what I'm saying. This verse here should be equivalent to one of those verses. So does anybody want to take a stab at what they think that verse is? Go ahead, Sister Debbie.
18.
All right. From what book?
From Ephesians
1. All right, so let's go there. Let's go to Ephesians 1. This was part of the prayer assignment. Remember, you were praying this same verse over your prayer partner. Sorry. Galatians, Ephesians. All right. So we just looked at what we seen in Psalms 119, what the psalmist was asking God, what he was praying to the Lord to do. Look what Paul is saying here in the New Testament. You want to read verse 18, Sister Debbie, for us?
I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Keep going to the next one.
And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might.
Amen. And are you good there? No, you're good there.
Okay.
You're good there. And we can even back up further where you see where he starts his prayer. Go back to verse 15, where he starts the prayer. Again, Paul is praying, remember, for these Ephesians to see this. Why? Because they can't see it. He needs, it's a work of God for them, for God to do the revealing, to show them, right? So he's praying that God will open the eyes of their hearts so that they can behold, same thing, wonderful things about God, right? Same thing we're seeing in Psalms 119. Again, it's a work of God. It's what I want you to see. It's prayer. It's pleading, right? So verse 15, he says, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you and your love for all the saints. Here we go, verse 16. I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayer. So now he's going into his prayer. Remember, this is what you were praying over your prayer partners. What is Paul praying for these Ephesians? Look what he's praying for these Ephesians. He's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So he wants these Ephesians to have knowledge about God. And so he's praying for God to do it. Why? Because it needs to be a work of God to do the act. It needs to be a supernatural act for God to give you this revelation and wisdom of who he is. And so that is his prayer for these saints. So he's praying that they get an understanding of who God is. He wants God to give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation so they can know who God is. And then he says, I pray, that what we just read, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened to know something, to see something, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. Paul is praying for that. Why? Because Paul just said it, but he realizes just saying it is not enough. He needs God to reveal it to you. He needs God to open up the eyes of your heart so that you can behold it and see it. So he's praying for God to do that. That is the similar thing on what the psalmist is doing in Psalms 119. When you go to Psalms 119, he is saying, open my eyes. He's talking to God. Again, he's saying the same thing. Open my eyes. Paul says, to enlighten my eyes, right? That I may behold, that I may know, that I may see, that I may behold the wonderful things from your law. Again, it's a work of God. So in order for us to delight in God, we have to see his glory. When we see his glory in his word, then we can do our delighting. But you can't delight in what you don't see, right? What you don't behold. So in order for us to behold, what we should be doing is what Jesus says in Matthew 7, to ask, seek, and knock. What are we asking, seeking, and knocking? God, to help me to see these wonderful things in your law. God, blow my mind, my heart away, God, with your word. God, show me your truths. God, enlighten my heart, God. God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, God, so that I can see you in the scripture. God, will you jump out of the pages for me? See, this is me asking, seeking, and knocking. And when you look in Matthew 7, that's not a one-time request. He says to ask, seek, and knock. He's increasing the intensity of the ask every time he says it. Ask, seek, and knock, right? So I need to keep going. God, help me to behold and see glory. Help me to see your majesty in your word. Because when you see it, then you'll be able to delight in it. But if you're not seeing anything, it's not going to be much delighting in what you can't see and what you can't behold. So delighting in the Lord, you want to start with speaking it as the psalmist does in Psalms 119. You want to speak to your soul and say, I will delight in the Lord. I'm not going to forget his commandments. But we need to humble ourselves and say, God, help me to see. I want to see. And I need you to help me to see so that I can delight. So these are the steps towards delighting in the Lord. Now, I want to go to the challenge to our delight in the Lord. Here's a challenge to our delighting in the Lord. And I didn't want to jump all around Psalms 119, but I just want to, I'm doing it this one time. I shouldn't say this one time, I'll probably do it again, but I'm going to do it right now. So go with me to Psalms 119, verse 37. Here's the challenge to our delighting in the Lord. 37 in Psalms 119. So you're still in Psalms 119, just go to 37. We all here? What does it say? Somebody read it out loud.
And not to dishonest again, turns my eyes away from looking at what is worthless.
There it is. Revive me in your ways. It's the A part of that verse. He says, turn away my eyes from looking at vanity or worthless things. That's the challenge to our delighting in the Lord. Remember, delighting is what you see, what you're beholding, right? We delight in what we see and behold. But when we're constantly looking at worthless things, we're taken away from our delight in God. When we're constantly turning our eyes to other things that are worthless, it actually steals from our delight and joy in God. Because now I'm delighting in these other things. So that's one of our greatest challenges. It's like, what are you spending your time with? How are you using your eyes? Where is it going? Where is it going to look for delight? Is it in the Word of God? Is that where it's going to seek? Or is it looking at these worthless things? You got to ask yourself that. What are you looking at? What are you staring at? What are you going and perceiving? It's going to say a lot about where your joy is going to be, your delight is going to be. So we have things that compete for our delight, or that will rob us of our delight in God's word. It's these worthless things. And you know, one of those big items, that's one of the things that challenges our delight in God, is our phones, right? Our phones is, for many of us, that's where our distractions start. It's with our phones. It's what we're doing, looking at on social media. It's our streaming. It's what we're looking on Netflix and YouTube. We're putting our eyes constantly on that. And as we do that, we're taken away from time spent in God's word or going to delight in God's word. And here's the crazy thing about those worthless things. Like with God's word, I have to make the commitment or the vow to say I'm going to delight in God's word. I will not forget his word. I have to go to the Lord in prayer. I may have to labor in prayer, asking God to help me to behold his word and to see the glory in it. But with Netflix and other things, guess what? I don't got to do any work. I just cut it on and I just start finding some delight. Like, right? I just look at it. And it can just steal my attention and my time. With God's word, I'm actually over here working it and praying and seeking and knocking and asking. But because of my flesh, my fallen nature, it's much more easy to go delight in worthless things. And so we got to watch that. That's stealing from our delight in the Lord. And that's why it's more of a fight to stay with delighting in God's word. So the question, I guess I'll just raise to you all, and now this is getting more to our practical application of this. And let's be honest here, okay? When you open God's word, do you always delight when you read scripture? Is it always delight? Can we get real? Is it always a delight? Or we want to act like it's always a delight? It's not. There's times when I'm in there and I'm not delighting, I'm not beholding, I'm not seeing anything. Right? So my question to you then, saints, and this is where I want us to share, what do you do in those moments where you're opening the Bible and you're seeing just black and white ink on white background? It's just letters on a page, and you're not seeing anything, you're not beholding. What do you do in those moments?
Pray.
You pray. Okay.
That's how God wants.
You say sorry. Why do you say sorry? Let's be real. We're just being... That new believer, yeah, you just in awe. Yeah. Yeah.
But it wasn't like a fire, it was just like a relief. And it's just been a relief since then. Like not a fire, it's just been a relief.
Okay.
And like this weight off my back.
Yeah.
So like I don't, those words have never really,
That's just not the adjective that you would use to describe. Fire, you would, like you said, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be fire. I know we use in Christian circles fire. We like saying it, right?
Well, that's
yeah. Okay. 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 That's good. Mom, you got your hand up. Okay, understanding. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That plays a role into you not seeing and it being dull. And
so I hope it's something that I
okay.
But I need
to keep going. Okay. And that's a good, and I can get that.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is even verses you do understand and you're not, when you're not seeing glory, like that's what I'm getting at. Cause I get, yeah, I don't understand the text. And so I can get how that could be, you know, hard to stay in there, stick in there, where you're like, I don't get what you're even talking about. But I'm saying, what about those moments where you do understand, there's no confusion on the words and what they mean, and yet you're still like, this is just words on a page to me. Like, how do you fight through that? That's what I'm getting at. Because that's a battle I'm sure that many of us believers, we go through in moments. And so what I'm asking for you all is to practically share things you do to fight through that. Like, we already know prayer. That's one. That's what he says here,
yeah.
Right? You want to spend the bulk of your time fighting on your knees, I would say, praying and going to the Lord. But are there other things when you do outside of praying that you do to fight through these dull moments when you're not seeing glory? That's what I'm asking for you. Sure. All right. I love it. People rushing or put their hands up. Go ahead.
Oh,
come on. Okay.
Because I think if we don't delight in the word, that's a symptom of there's something wrong with our heart.
Mm.
Yeah.
Not maybe our mind, because we might understand it, but why isn't my heart affected at all with this?
Right.
What's wrong with me? Not God and his word. I'm wrong.
Something's in me.
I need to repent. And I think before we were saved, regenerated, we could not delight in the word.
Yeah.
Because our heart was a heart of stone. But God did that surgery by taking out the old heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh. So now it's possible to delight, but we don't always do it, I think, because our flesh battles against the spirit and we fall prey maybe to the work of the flesh in our lives.
Yeah.
So I think repentance and just saying, Lord, my heart must not be right because I'm not really...
Okay, I like that. So there's sin, there's something there. Lord, help me to see what that thing is, God. And yeah, and I get it. I love it. Like it's going to be a work of God, right? He has to do that thing, even that revealing of whatever it is that's blocking you from seeing, right? It's that work of God in us crying and pleading to the Lord to do something, God. Like, okay, amen, brother. That's good.
So what he just said is why I do this.
What?
What I'm about to tell you.
Okay, okay.
So when I come to a place in my life like that where I'm just not getting it or it's not moving me
yeah.
or it's not making a change
yeah,
or
yeah.
an impression, I go back to verses that always minister to my heart.
Okay.
Because I feel like my
come on, Sister Debbie, I love it.
My heart is in the wrong place, so I need to be reminded of the fact that he will be every
yeah.
spiritual blessing in the heavenly place.
Come on.
Just as he chose us before him in the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless, I reach out to those same verses that always move.
Let's go. I'm sorry, you get me excited. That's so good.
It's like I need to wake up my come on.
Yes, yes. Oh, my goodness. The words I'm using.
Make that akin to repentance. And then I feel like I can go back to those verses where my heart was sleepy and I can begin to see
yeah.
what God wants me to see in that
yeah.
because my heart is now awake towards him.
Whoa. Whoa, you said that thing. Oh, my goodness. You said, you preached that. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it has anything to do with God's word.
Yeah.
It's not like it's God's fault.
Yeah, it's definitely not. Yeah.
It's ours.
Yeah.
And we just need to recognize, wake up.
Woo. She had a good one. Come on.
It feels good.
Yeah. I love it. One of the things that Sister Debbie said that I wanted to point out, one of my practices, is you go into something that's familiar, that speaks to you, a verse that's clear to you, right? Like she has a verse, what I shared last week, I have a book. I meant to bring it down, but I didn't bring it. The Tim Keller book. It's a book that I read that whatever reason, Tim Keller's a man, I know that. Holy Spirit works for him, but it stirs my heart. So you can go to it. What stirs your heart? What has you've known in the past that stirred your heart, that seemed to awaken your heart? And so that book does it for me. And I can just go read a few chapters out of, not every time, I'm not saying like that, but I go to this book and it stirs my spirit. And when I, after praying, asking God to reveal, to show me glorious things in your law and reading, then I can go back to that verse and see glory.
Yeah.
And so those are some of the steps that I take. I'm so happy. That's why I was so excited. I'm like, you're saying exactly my process, right?
They
take you there.
A place of gratitude.
Yeah.
And then we're open.
Yeah.
To laid bare and ready to receive what it is that we're trying to wade through.
Amen.
Yeah.
So that's so good, saints. Another thing that I would add that I do that's helpful is if there's a text that I'm not seeing, I have to sometimes just step away from it. Again, read something different. I just need to read another something different. This verse is not showing. I'm not seeing any glory. And I say go prayer walk if you can.
Yeah.
That's just like I'll just go walk, talking to the Lord, breathing in his air, you know, getting my mind because I'm so working in my flesh to try to, I need to understand this verse now, like on my time. And just go take in and just step away and let him just minister to you. And then go, like, I'll just be cooking breakfast. I'll stop or brush my teeth. I don't know. I'll just go do something else. And then the Holy Spirit just begins to reveal, right? So I would say just step away sometimes, right? Labor, push, but then step away. Pray, go do something different, and then come back. So that's another practical thing that I do. So I like this. Keep this going. Anybody else? What are some things you do? Go ahead, Sister Beth. Mm-hmm.
And the only one that can work your heart or help you with the heart issue is God.
Yeah.
Because God was the one that took that heart of stone out of you.
Come on.
And boy, it was a stony. And it was his heart of flesh. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say that I didn't put conditions on this, but it's like God, if you want me to feel all of the emotions that come with this heart of flesh, you know, the sadness or the grief or all these things that bring on the tears, can I please also feel those things that love and peace and joy, all the warm things that warm my heart.
Yeah.
And so I got, a few months ago, I ran into this, and I got up this morning, and I was in great fear because I knew I had started my study and my reading.
Right.
Feeling where I was reading the Lord's letter to the Church of Laodicea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that just terrifies me that the God, the Lord would want to spew me out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am neither hot nor cold. And I prayed, and that's what this morning I said, I was just felt terrified. Starting to go back through this again.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot keep doing this. What's wrong with me? And it was just like what everybody's been describing. This is a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And all of a sudden I just said, please do something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave me like this. I'm going to church today.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta get there early today. Please.
Yeah.
And I tell you, that is a one-word prayer.
Yeah, come on.
Help.
And yeah.
I could feel it, and I went back and started to read my devotionals, because the devotionals speak to me.
Yeah. Amen.
But I just keep remembering that letter to the Church of Laodicea, that one of all of them terrified me. God's food in me. Please don't do that to me. So then I go to Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, the last few verses.
Right. You got your verses, your go-to. There we go. Come on. You got your go-tos.
No matter what.
There you go.
You know, and he lists the whole, I haven't got it memorized yet. I'm still working on that. But it's like, there is absolutely nothing, not the condition of my heart at that moment or whatever.
Yeah.
Is ever going to separate. And so then I started.
Amen.
And started coming back to me. But that scares me.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm not getting anything out of that devotional, or, you know, because not all of them you do.
Yeah.
But then I started reading them, and then I read one of them, and it said, bingo. You know, I get that bingo or eureka.
You get that moment. I get it.
But, that makes
That's me good.
Feel much better. I feel safe.
Amen.
That's the word I'm looking at. I feel safe.
Amen. That's good. So let's recap what we have here. So we talked about first things first for delighting in God's word is prayer, right? Asking, it's repentance, right? Ask search in our heart. Going to our go-to verses that we know that we've delighted in before. Or for me, it's a go-to verse or a go-to book or something that just helps you to go into worship. I would even add worship music can do that. When you're not seeing glory, just go and play a song. Worship music can do that. Prayer walking, those are things that we could do to help us delight in God's word. But ultimately, remember, you need a work of God. That's Paul prays, right? For God to do something in that delighting, that beholding. So those are some just practical things we could do to apply this to our lives. Now, let's get to this last one so we can move on here from this particular stanza. And this is just practical. He says, I shall not forget your word. Again, he makes another commitment or a vow. I'm going to delight in your statutes, and I shall not forget your word. I had another point, but I will do that later. Still in 16. It's just a B portion. And I wanted to go just straight to the practical application. I shall not forget your word. What do you all do, saints, so that you will not forget God's word? What are some of the things that you do so that you won't forget? And let me give you something, and I'll throw something, then I'll let you speak. One of the ways that we cannot forget God's word, I would say, is to obviously memorize, but it's good to just have verses around your house, or in your car, just places where you frequent, having his word around you. That's just one practical application that you can do in your house to help you just remember God's word. Have it always before you. Remember in, we were looking in Deuteronomy, how it talks about having God's word binded on your hand and on your forehead and on your doorpost. It's everywhere, so you just don't forget it, right? And so that's just one practical thing I would encourage people to do, is just have scripture around. Like my son, he has it on the screensaver. Like when he opens his phone. That's one way. Oh, here's another neat way, and I'll open this up, that I've just started doing at work. So at work, you have to have a password, right? And I have to log in. I have to put in my password probably 50 times a day, because once your computer goes down, you got to type it in. Because Verizon, you have proprietary information. So as soon as you're not working on your computer, it shuts down, and you got to write your password in again. So what I start doing now is that my password is a verse, a scripture. So now every time I got to do this 50 times a day, or however long, I'm putting this verse in there, and it's reminding me of that scripture. So that's one way. God's word now is always before me. So you can even do that with your passwords. Make it a verse or something like that. Now God's word is always there. So those are just two practical things that I would put forward that I'm doing in my personal life. So just, what are your thoughts? How do you not forget scripture? What are things you do to make sure that God's word is always before you? So just...
and goes into my bathroom.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I have. Right there on the window, on the mirror. Yeah.
And also in my office, whenever I come across a scripture that reaches out and grabs me, I print it out on my computer, and then I print it and put it on my wall.
Oh, good.
In my office.
Yeah, yeah.
I do the same with mom's room. And, and then I also put it as a
Yeah.
So it's part of my reminders. Like at 9 o'clock every morning, a certain scripture will, I'll get that little heart set yeah. on my phone, and I go to it, and it's a verse of scripture I'm trying to remember. And I have probably 3 or 4, maybe 5 of those on my phone.
Okay.
At different times of the day.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Phone. She prints it out. She writes it on her bathroom mirror. We have all seen that. The verses. Okay, that's good.
A couple of just real obvious things that we probably would just overlook, but just be committed to reading through the Bible.
Okay.
Again and again. You end with it, you start over, just keep reading through the scripture. And then just coming to church.
That was one of them. Yep, there you go.
As long as you're going to be consistent coming to church, you're going to hear the word over and over and over and over, and you won't forget it. So, just too easy to.
There you go. That's good. And I had, yeah, I had both of those. I love it. We're on the same page. Anybody else, just before we end out here, close out, just how do you practically go about memorizing God's word? Or keeping God's word before you? I wouldn't say necessarily memorizing. I would say listening to music that has God's word in it. I think that's a way of not forgetting God's word. Listen to teachings that you get here, online, certain people, I would say, not everybody. But those are just practical things that we can do to keep God's word before us so that we don't forget it. Now, lastly, do you see how these two work together? I shall delight in your statutes, I shall not forget your word. That when you're delighting in something, it's hard to forget it, so to speak. Right, when you are delighting in something, it's there, it's before you. It's like, but when I'm not delighting, I can easily forget God's word. So that's how these two kind of work together. It's like, when I'm delighting, it's easier to remember, not forget. When I'm delighting in something, I'm liking it, I'm loving it. So when we go and take our mind and delight in other things, that these worthless things, that's when it becomes easy to forget God's word. Why? Because now I'm delighting in my mind in something else, which now is going to cause me to forget more of what God's word is saying. So that's how these things kind of work together. So we want to keep praying to the Lord to allow us to delight in his word. Because when I'm delighting something and it's good to me, it's harder to forget when I'm enjoying it, when I'm seeing it. You know? Yeah. There you go.
First thing popped in my head, memorize the 23rd Psalm.
Okay, Psalm 23? Yeah.
Yes.
Let's go.
I've been trying, and I'll go back to it a month later, and I've got to read it all over again. But in the Bible that it talks about, like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where else in the scriptures have I read that about the Lord is my shepherd that I delight, well, like, shepherd do? All right, well, for one thing, he lays down his life, okay? And for another thing, he protects the flock, okay? That's where the rod and staff, when I got to that, the rod and staff, he uses those to guide the sheep, protect the sheep, okay? And so what I did, I just started taking him first, and then that was the first thing I went to for that one, and then looking for, I had to get some help, my chief, you know. But where else has God, the Lord laid me down in green pastures? Where else has God brought me by still waters? So I started doing that. I started
cross-referencing, going to other places.
Yeah, cross-referencing other places where, you know, like walking through the shadow of death.
Yeah.
All right? Well, I have to be afraid with that. And, that's where I went to that. I thought, well, where? And then I remember, I'm trying to memorize that Heidelberg Catechism. And it says, what do you fear in life or in death? In death, okay? And I can't remember exactly, but I remember that's what it, and the reason I don't fear walking through the shadow of death or fear of death, because he's with me, and then I remember from there what he did for me. So, what did he do? His blood, had my salvation is in his blood. And then what did he do? He laid down his life for me.
The shepherd.
You know?
Yeah.
The shepherd.
Yeah.
So, it helped me not only to memorize it, but I did it, make it. When you read, when you do that, you say it over and over again, it starts to lose its meaning. And it starts to become a rehearsal. You know, you just keep repeating. I can't do that because it loses something to me. I don't want something to be a ritual. And that's doing that over and over for me sounds like a ritual. So this is what God showed me to do. That I said, I don't want this to be a ritual. And that's what I was. Do that cross reference. Where else have you read this? Where else have you seen this in your study? You know, it's like, yeah, I've never done it.
Okay.
Anyway, that's what I did.
This is the best study in your Bible. I love it. Alright, thanks to God. So that's it for today. I hope that practically you got some tips on just how to delight in God's word, some things you can take home and apply to your life. Everybody's, there's some good suggestions in here, things that people are proving that, if you will, things that people do. When you come to those adult moments where the Bible turns into just words on paper. So, vital to your life. Don't just let this be a ritual that you take and you heard yourself and you go about. No, apply the things you're hearing today. So that you can go deeper in your relationship.